The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. It's Friday. OJ is out. Let's begin right there.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. It is Friday. O.J. Simpson has been granted parole. Now, he's not out. I didn't mean to panic everybody. He's not out until October. So if you are the real killer, man, you better hide. Because he's back, and this time he's pissed.
He's going to go to even more golf courses looking for the real killer.
Yeah, well, even more. Well, I'm not sure. How many golf courses? How much money does this guy have left?
Well, there seems to be some discrepancy over that. Sports Illustrated reported that he has a pension, NFL pension, of almost like $300,000 a year. So it's $25,000 a month. But ESPN reported last night, 12,000?
I saw a report last night that it cuts it down in half. They did the numbers on it, and it's something like 10 or 12,000 a month.
Why?
I don't know, just the way the pension works out from the NFL.
Bottom line, though, is he has an ongoing salary that no one can touch. So he is going to, money-wise, it's not going to be a problem.
How can they not touch his pension?
It's just a law.
It's just a, I don't know what it is. We were talking about it yesterday, and I was... I did a really good job of just completely speculating with absolutely no fact on it. But doesn't it just seem like the type of thing the unions would fight for and get, like, you can't touch pensions if you've got a criminal, in a settlement, like to protect these things over time. I have no idea if that's where it started, but it's a stupid rule. I mean, if you commit a crime and you have a large settlement, they should be able to come after your pension. It's your money.
I mean, you should be able to have
a deferred salary.
I don't want to see this guy out on the street starving to death, not being able to keep any of his money. But to have a pension that, you know, gives you $300,000 a year after you've beheaded two people.
That's a good point.
I like how everybody just discounts that he was actually found innocent of that.
But he wasn't found innocent.
He wasn't found innocent.
As far as this money goes. And again, his money? No. I mean, the money is...
No, it should all go to the Goldmans, right?
Yeah,
and Browns.
No, maybe there's an exception for a poverty level, exception where he
That's what I mean. You bring him down just above the poverty level. Okay. I mean, try this. I'd be happy if he was living at $60,000, $70,000 a year. That's not poverty level. He's living like that? For this guy to be able to still live high on the hog is obscene.
It is. He made over $600,000 in prison.
What?
How? The pension keeps rolling in. The
pension keeps going.
And he's nowhere to spend it.
Wow.
So he's going to have plenty of money. In fact, he was he didn't do anything in prison. Like his cellmates would clean... And would make all the food
and
for
him, pay him
because he would pay for all of their. I guess they have a. I don't want to say a convenience store, but you know, like they have a way to get some basic needs if they have money. Commissary,
yeah.
Thank you. And he would buy everybody his cellmates everything because he had plenty of money and they didn't have any, so they would do all the work for him. He like hired help inside prison.
Oh, that's amazing.
I love that.
That's amazing.
That's a very Jeffy-esque scam right there.
Man, that is just.
And how about what he said? Yesterday to the parole board, he said that he's lived a conflict-free life.
Right.
I'm not a guy who's lived a criminal life. I've been asked to mediate conflicts in the prison, and it gave me tools to use and walk these guys through instead of throwing punches at one another. I always thought I was good with people, but basically I've spent a conflict-free life. I wonder if we could ask Nicole about that.
No, you
and
can't.
Oh, that's
she'd
right.
She'd have a hard time.
He then cut her head off.
Yeah, she'd have
but
a hard
first,
time getting
the
air
out
through
of
her vocal cords.
So. Conflict free. How many times did the cops come to his Rockingham house?
A lot.
Like, well, you can't help how many times people call the police on you.
Okay, all right. Let's just put O.J. Simpson in the room with, you're at a party. And there's only four people at the party. You, and you have to talk to somebody. You can't leave. You, O.J. Simpson, Mike Tyson, Bill Cosby. I head right to Bill Cosby.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I don't drink anything.
Yeah.
But I head right to
Especially
Bill Cosby.
Nothing he gives you.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Why?
Wind up on his couch.
Why?
In his office.
Yeah. Why Bill Cosby?
Because I just have a feeling that Mike Tyson and O.J. Simpson could kill me.
Yeah, there'd be. I mean, he's 71 now, O.J.
Just 70, I think.
70. Mm-hmm. Now, he could probably still kill you, but I mean, yeah. A lot of people he would not be able to at 70.
He looks good, too.
He did look good. That's an interesting one. I feel like...
Those two could go fly into rage. Those two are so unstable, they could fly into rage. And if one starts punching you, the other one's coming over to help.
You might be right. Now, Tyson's embraced by Hollywood. He is completely clear of... By the way, he was the one of the three that was convicted of rape. He was convicted of a crime.
Yeah.
But Bill Cosby was not.
How?
Neither was O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, right.
That is how has brush Mike, off the legal system if you must, but that is the actual
No, the
fact.
Legal system means that legally you can go free.
Mm-hmm.
That you there's a high bar, but that doesn't mean I have to believe it.
No, of course not.
Of course.
But it's amazing, though, that one of these three has been embraced by Hollywood.
Well, one of these
three has been embraced. Theater
possibly because one of the three paid their dues for it. You know,
possibly.
once you go into prison, I have a better time, not with Mike Tyson, but I have a better time dealing with you if you go to prison and you're like, yeah, I did it and it was bad but I paid my time. Okay. All right, I'll give you a second chance. Not with my daughter or me, but, all right. O.J. Simpson, he's told his friends he did it.
Sort of. I mean, at least allegedly, according to them.
According to them,
he did it.
I 100% believe you.
Yeah.
But even if he didn't, he is, it does seem that he was committed domestic abuse.
You want him as a neighbor?
No. Oh, God, no. I mean, I'm just trying to think of... You gave a hypothetical, and you said three people.
Yeah, three people. Put them in. Who do you go to?
I'd rather talk to O.J. He'd have more interesting things to say than the other.
Bill Cosby could talk to you about pudding. He might have access to pudding there on the inside.
It's true.
That is tempting.
Yeah.
Probably if he has pudding, then I'm going
to. He has pudding.
I don't know. Ingesting things from Bill Cosby, probably not a good maneuver.
Ah, that's good. Yeah. Good. I was just thinking about the drinks. So
what if
no pudding from him.
What if there's only two people, and it's Sean Penn and O.J. Simpson?
Got to go to O.J.
I'm going to O.J.
Yeah.
That's amazing. The murderer might be
Sean
less annoying.
Penn.
Really?
Going to Sean Penn.
Sean Penn, obviously a socialist and would be really annoying, but has some amazing stories, particularly of his relationships that you might want to hear.
Yeah. But not only that, there is something about Sean Penn that is, I don't know. If a fire broke out or something, he's a little bit, I think, I could be wrong, but I think he's a little bit like Tom Cruise. I don't want to spend time with Tom Cruise, but if there's trouble, Tom Cruise is the kind of guy who's like, let's go.
Oh, I don't.
Let's go get him. And
maybe.
You're like, yes,
I don't have that
you
impression
go.
Of Tom Cruise at
no.
all.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah. That he'd be good in a dark alley when people are.
Tom Cruise is the guy. Don't you remember all those stories with Tom Cruise? Somebody steals a purse on a street and he's like running after him, tracking him down, getting the purse and returning it.
I think you're talking about Mission Impossible 3.
No, he's done that several times.
The
he is like
real
this,
Tom Cruise.
The real Tom Cruise is like this do-gooder.
And he does all of his own stunts. These ridiculous stunts.
Right.
I would say, I agree with you on Cruise. I don't know if I see that with Sean Penn. I think, though,
I don't know. I mean, you want to kick, arsenic or a gun to the head.
Well, he didn't.
I don't know.
He
did
go
one.
Interview that drug kingpin, right?
Mm-hmm.
He put.
How long am I in the room? Because at some point, I'd have to grab him by the shirt lapels and go, "You're so freaking stupid, man. What is wrong with you? Really, the drug guy and all of the dictators—they're good guys."
Chavez. He loved Hugo Chavez.
Yeah,
loved
him.
Think
about
that's a no-brainer. I'm going to OJ every time.
Yeah, I might. That'd be hard.
At least I can talk sports with OJ.
Yes.
Again, these are not.
And
none
see,
of these
that's
are
the problem with me.
You can't
nothing with OJ.
If it's Justin Bieber, and And Arenthal James Simpson, who do you
go
to?
I'm all over the Biebs on that one. Yeah, Biebs has got some good stories, I bet.
Yeah, I'm going to Justin Bieber.
Again, like, there's a lot.
You don't think OJ has a good story? It would be interesting to see how he pulled it off. And I think he'd tell you.
Okay.
If you became friends with OJ.
OJ Simpson, yeah. If you became friends with OJ.
If you were close to him, he'd tell you.
Yeah. Okay, so OJ Simpson or... Who's the tongue woman? The woman who, what's her name? She was a kid on Disney. Her dad was famous. She's Miley Cyrus.
Miley.
Okay.
I mean, you keep putting these
so
annoying celebrities against a murderer. I mean, it would be annoying.
I know, and I would go to the murderer before I would go to Miley Cyrus. Ooh. Imagine having a conversation with Miley Cyrus.
I've heard she's calmed down. Weren't we talking about
that one? Yeah, she's supposed to be coming around.
Yeah, she's supposedly trying to
clean up her
gotten a grip on her life now. Maybe. I don't know.
Uh-huh. That's what she said.
Chris Brown. What about Chris Brown, the guy also a domestic abuser?
Is he the guy who punched the girl?
Brianna?
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife has interviewed him before. I said he was delightful.
Really?
Yeah, said he was really nice.
She must
not
have said anything that ticked him off.
So was H.H. Holmes.
Well, that's true. But she interviewed him. It was after he had his little incident with Rihanna, was it? I can't remember.
It was.
I don't know if you call knocking someone out in the elevator.
No, that you're incident. Thinking of Ray Rice. This is a singer, rapper, whatever.
Same type of thing, though, not on film.
But not on film.
But she interviewed him, and then and it seemed like he was doing great, and he was trying this big like comeback and everything. And then the next day, he was like punched a hole through the wall at Good Morning America's like green room. It was like, I'm glad you didn't ask a really dumb question or something, because that could have gotten ugly.
See, that's what's happened. That's what's going to happen with OJ and Mike Tyson, though, too, right?
At
any moment, they could snap.
Yeah. I mean, OJ Simpson, that's why you don't want him living in the neighborhood. Is O.J. Simpson is, I mean, he's a guy who, you just never know. You do one thing wrong, he'll snap.
The terrorism is a good guide, though, for this, because I mean, we always see this with, there's a lot of Islamic extremists around the world, but almost all the Islamic extremists that actually commit attacks are between, like, 18 and 40, right? So you get to the point where you're talking to a 70-year-old, the idea they're going to snap and do something is usually, it's unlikely. It does... There's a good little thing that goes on as Simpson, people get older.
O.J. Simpson is so tied up inside. You can't cut people's heads off and deny it and go back and be like, that's when I was younger. I made some really bad mistakes. That's battery acid inside of you. There's got to be conflict in him like crazy. Either that or he is even more of a sociopath than I think he is.
There's a documentary called Shawshank Redemption, in which Morgan Freeman he actually did commit a crime when he was young.
Yeah.
But then later on, he was released, and then he was just like fixing boats on a beach. I mean, that's how it turned out.
Well, that's what happened. That's why I'm glad OJ's out, because I didn't want him to get institutionalized. That's what happened at Shawshank. A lot of guys get institutionalized once they get in.
You guys know that's a Stephen King novel, right?
Actually, I saw it on film. It was on a book.
So. All right. Okay. Let me tell you about Joe and Kathleen's story. In 2008, Joe was an active duty military transferred to a new base. And at the same time, the market collapsed. And he had to sell their home in Michigan. How are you selling a home in 2008? You remember what that was like? Selling your home in 2008, not happening. Well, they were luckily blessed with a few good renters, and they made it all the way to 2015, still with that house in Michigan. But now they're trying to sell their house, and, they're away from the house. They went to realestateagentsitrust.com. They got a call from an agent within 2 minutes. Now, trying to sell their home 500 miles away, not ideal. The agent took care of everything. Within 5 days of putting their house on the market, Joe and Kathleen secured an offer that was at $2,100 over their asking price. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. These are people that have been hand-selected by my team that are trying to do their best to serve you and to make it really, really simple. Don't take my word for it. Do your own homework. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com, talk to a real estate agent in your town. hear about the, read about the success stories at realestateagentsitrust.com. This is the person that will help sell your house on time and for the most money. Also, they can help you buy a new house. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
The fusion of entertainment. Entertainment. And enlightenment.
And enlightenment.
Because we are one. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, it's not a party. It's not a party. It's a choice. And you have to pick one. O.J. Simpson is babysitting your kids. Or Bill Cosby is the bartender at your daughter's wedding.
God.
Yeah.
But you're at the wedding, so you right. could try to do something to intervene.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah. I don't think I'd want to leave my kids alone with someone like this. But
O.J. Simpson is the bartender at your daughter's wedding. Bill Cosby is watching your kids.
Again, the wedding, I'm there, right? So I'm picking that every time.
You are wrapped in it spider cocoon webbing. So you.
But other people are there.
But nobody knows it's Bill Cosby. Stop it! You're wrecking this. Everybody who knows has no fingers for sign language, no eyes to blink, and their mouths are completely... They have no mouths. It's just skin there. Just a beard. No mouths. On the women, too. Make a decision.
That just doesn't seem realistic. I mean, I just don't see why that would be. That would,
I don't know how you find yourself in that situation.
Oh. Hey, is Dunkirk finally opening this weekend?
Yeah, it starts today.
Oh,
right?
Man, I want to see that.
Saw some really good stuff last night. Eric Erickson, who we've had on the show before, said end of the screening, just people stood up and applauded. Like, it's like that level of a movie, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see it. Should you wait for the IMAX? I mean, should you go to see it in an IMAX or the really comfy? I don't know if they do this all the rest of the country. Has everybody else got the pleasures of Texas with movie theaters?
I think at least major metropolitan areas.
Oh, man, right? Where they're serving you great food. And
you're in a Lazy Boy recliner.
Yeah, if we could just get somebody to massage you during it would be heaven. I'd never leave.
Give me a call, Glenn, later.
Yeah, no.
Make that happen for you.
Okay. I add somebody else at the, O.J. Mike Tyson, Bill Cosby party.
It's like one of those things, though, that people demanded for a long time. And you know how you kind of just say, like, why don't they do this? And you, a lot of times there's a real reason why they don't do this.
Yeah.
The dine-in theaters are one of those things that everyone was like, why don't they just serve food here? And yeah, they should have been serving food there the entire time.
Yeah.
The other one is McDonald's breakfast. I always think of like that. Everyone, for years, people were like, why don't they just serve breakfast all day, idiots? People like their breakfast. And they were like, no, we can't.
I can't get breakfast.
We are changing over the grills.
It's too crazy. What? You don't understand the process back here. And now they've done it, and it's like increased their sales by like 30 or 40%. It's been a huge windfall of cash for them. And everyone said it to them for 20 years.
But you know,
like,
the movie theaters. The movie theaters, I mean, the ones that would just have the recliner seats now, they seem so outdated. You're like, what? You're not serving food?
Yeah.
Why aren't you serving? I need a big old steak.
There's no masseuse.
I mean, it's getting crazy.
I won't even go to the old style now. I've become a theater snob. I won't even. And there's one that's pretty close to us, and we all know which one it is. But it's the old style, and all they have to do to proclaim themselves of some kind of
screen.
It's a big screen. And it's stadium theater. Well,
yeah.
They're all that now.
Yeah. What's amazing is how much I love the fact that it's my favorite thing besides the reclining seats and everything else is that I don't have to search for a seat. I don't have to get there early. Yeah. I don't have to stand in line. It's fantastic.
Nice.
It's just fantastic.
It is great.
There's this new, you went to this new Look 360 theater. What the hell is that?
I don't know what that is.
I have to get the name of it, but they have a new, the new next level technology at one of these theaters that I saw. I saw The Revenant at it. Was that a couple of years ago, I guess, or a year ago? And it was amazing. It was like I was looking through a window watching this movie. It was incredible. And the sound, it's all the new surround sound, which sounds already great in theaters, but it was even better. I mean, I have to,
I'll get
to
know how that's possible.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, Dunkirk opens this weekend, and OJ will not be there.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
What else was happening with O.J. Simpson? Remember where you were when O.J. Simpson was in the Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember where you were? It's one of those events. World Trade Center. Probably started the first Gulf War. Probably the killing of Osama bin Laden.
The killing of the assassination of JFK, if you're old enough
Challenger. Challenger, you remember. And the Bronco chase, I think everybody remembers. That's the first, like, murder that, I mean, can you think of another, I know when they were chasing a murderer? Allegedly.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, JFK thing, obviously.
Yeah, JFK, but that's the only, like, murder thing that I can pause. I mean, everything else. But that was such a huge event. Remember, most of us were watching it. Do you remember who the host was?
Yeah.
Who?
Larry King.
Larry King.
CNN.
Larry King. This is what else was going on in 1994 on television, just to put you back on how long it's been. Seinfeld was number one. ER was number two. Home Improvement. Grace Under Fire. Monday Night Football, 60 Minutes. NYPD Blue. Murder, wow. She Wrote was still on.
Wow.
Friends. Roseanne. Remember this one? Mad About You.
Mm.
Ellen was still on. Hope and Gloria. Frasier. Murphy Brown. Me and the Boys. Yeah. Me and the Boys, Dave's World, Sybil, The Nanny, Full House was still on.
Huh.
The Martin Short Show was running that year.
What?
Yeah.
I do not remember that at all.
You don't remember The Martin Short Show?
No.
Yeah, nobody does. Martin still is trying to forget about it. Okay, so 1994 is when this happened, right?
Yes.
Try this. In 1991, the answering machine was first introduced. 91.
Wow.
What?
No.
It's wired. 1994, the Sony PlayStation. So this is the year that the Sony PlayStation came out. 1995, guided missiles. 1998 was
we didn't have guided missiles in the first Gulf War. I think we did.
Guided missiles. Hang on. Guided munitions during the 1990-91 Gulf War, ordered his armies to invade Kuwait, blah, blah, blah. United States mounted an all out bombardment of Iraqi troops, blah, blah, blah. During the war, Iraq was also hit with thousands of precision-guided bombs, a weapon that had never been seen before, large-scale use in combat. Certain logic
large
to it.
Large-scale use.
Yet in 1995, 4 years after the war, GPS became fully operational. Okay. 1994, we didn't have GPS. It also helped make precision-guided bombs more precise. So, in other words, it was a GPS. Yeah, GPS-guided munitions.
Yeah.
Wow. That was, if you're interested in that day, if you've seen the 30 for 30 that ESPN did about June 17th, 1994, which was the chase, at the same time, the Rangers were winning their first Stanley Cup in a zillion years. And it was a huge, I mean, in New York. And the Knicks were in the finals.
Well, that was the playoff game.
And they were breaking away from the finals to cover OJ. They didn't know whether they should cover OJ in a Bronco or the NBA finals.
Yeah.
And they would go and leave and do break-ins. I mean, it was a that was a crazy day. There's about 25 huge things in sports that day.
So think of this. A year before, we had not yet heard bum, 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 bum. Do you recognize that from commercials?
Intel.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, the Pentium chip.
Mm.
The Pentium chip had just been invented. Java hadn't been released yet. Computer animation was still 4 years away. 3 years away from Nintendo 64. Yahoo had just been released. Mm. Who was using it?
Probably nobody. That was those are the days of dial-up, right?
AOL.
That was AOL. Yeah. You had to have an AOL account.
And the big old bulky Apple computers with AOL.
Think how different things were.
I know.
Took 5 minutes or 10 minutes for a web page to load.
Wow.
You'd go eat, and when you come back, when you came back, you'd hope that it was finally loaded.
We have to have this guy who was wrongly accused. He lives right around us, and he is. I just had dinner with him. He's amazing. He was wrongly accused for murder and went to jail in 1977, got out in 2012 or 2013, and is not bitter at all. It was his cousin who killed somebody, and he was wrongly accused. And then he pleaded guilty because the DA said, or his representation, I can't remember which, said, if you plead guilty, give you 10 years. Well, they didn't make that deal. He pled guilty, and then he got life without parole. And so never thought he would get out. Finally, the truth came out, and they, you know, reversed his sentence, and he was released.
Still, though.
He's an amazing guy. So I asked him, I said, so 1977, what was the most amazing thing when you get out? It's 2013. He said, well, first of all, you could see a cell phone on television, but until you actually hold an Apple iPhone, he said, you have absolutely no idea. He said, they handed this. He said, I think it was his mom was on the phone when he was first released. And the attorney said, your mother wants to talk to you. And he said, he handed me this piece of glass. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And he said, I talked to her upside, you know, I had it upside down. I'm like, I can't hear you. He said the biggest thing was getting into a car. He said, the last time I was in a car was 1977. He said, you get into a car now and it's completely different. Imagine going back to 1994 and seeing how different our life was. We don't recognize it because everything is just, in some ways, everything has just gotten better.
By far.
Easier. It's gotten easier. Everything has gotten easier. But look, as everything has gotten easier, talk to two people that won a scholarship, okay, from Mercury One. We were doing a college scholarship for, I believe, I can't remember what the rules were, but it was a high school contest to write an essay about George Washington, and the other one was Abraham Lincoln. These weren't dummies. These kids were not dummies. When they came in yesterday, the two winners, they were great papers, but one said, I had no idea that George Washington was a farmer or that, you know, I just thought of him as a president. I didn't know that, you know, he did all these things. The girl who wrote about Abraham Lincoln said, I had no idea that he was a lawyer. And I thought about that all day last night. After I talked to them, I thought, here we are in the information age where you can Google anything and we have less information. The information has not helped us. This explosion of information has just made things more confusing, and now you have no idea what's true. You would think you'd be able to know what's true. You'd be able to go and find it, but people don't do it. We're less informed now in the information age. It's bizarre. Our sponsor this half hour is Casper Sleep. By the way, have you heard Have you heard what's happening in Poland? Poland took another step away from democracy, and they're starting to go like Hungary. They're starting to go hard right. Yesterday in Poland, they allowed the ruling party to replace all the judges. So the Supreme Court judges and all of the judges now can be appointed, can be fired and appointed by the ruling party, which is going to let, I mean, it's just, I mean, you're going into fascism now.
Isn't that what they fought years and years against?
No, they have been, it has been repositioned in their minds to say, no, this is not communism. This is the opposite of communism. It's fascism. It's not communism. And the guys who were part of, the Solidarity movement, they were testifying yesterday in front of their Congress saying, one of them showed up in a prison outfit, you know, from the old gulags and said, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you people? Anyway, Casper Sleep is our sponsor this half hour. Middle of the night, you're tossing and turning. You're not sleeping. You're drenched. You're covered in sweat. Get rid of the heat-trapping mattress and sleep as cool as the other side of the pillow. Man, there's nothing better than the cold side of a pillow. Casper has two high-tech foams that will guarantee that you have a great night's sleep, sleeping cool, comfortable, and fully supported every single night. And it ships in a box that's so small you're not going to believe that it actually holds a mattress. And it makes it easy to get it from the front door to the bedroom. You put it on the bed frame and then open up the box. And when you cut that tie, the mattress unfolds, and within a minute, you put a sheet on that thing and lay down, and it is comfortable. Casper does everything, so you can try it risk-free for 100 nights in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll come and pick it up, and they'll refund every single penny, no questions asked. Sleeping on a mattress is the only way to really know what the right mattress is for you. Try yours for 100 nights. Sleep cool and comfortable every night. Free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck. Get $50 off the purchase of your mattress. It's Casper.com. Promo code Beck. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America, and welcome. It is Friday. There's a couple of things going on. I don't know if anybody is paying attention to this, but the dollar has lost 10% during this Russia and healthcare nonsense. 10% of its value, which means you're going to start paying 10% more for everything that you buy overseas. It's a catch-22. It means that our stuff is 10% lower overseas, but we're probably going to make that up with the 10% higher costs here in America. This is a pretty big loss of value. It's been a while since we've seen a drop this much.
The free trade stuff is kind of interesting now. They're saying that Bannon's being pushed out of these meetings. He hasn't been to a trade meeting in reportedly 6 weeks, and they're saying that the more free market people, like Cohn and such in the administration are starting to get a little bit more power. Now, these things go up and down all the time in this administration. Like, people get power and lose power, get power, lose power all the time. But that's a good sign. And there were reports a couple weeks ago that these threats of tariffs and everything, Europe and other countries are now coming up with their responses. And it's hitting farmers. It's hitting all these. Remember, we're the number two exporter in the world. Everyone thinks we don't export anything. We're the number two exporter in the world. So our stuff goes overseas, and now they're going to start putting tariffs on things that are.
But not if we don't do it first, right?
They're not going to just do it out of nowhere. Okay. But they're prepared. They've prepared the types of things, and they're targeting things that, by the way, are going to hurt Trump voters. I mean, it's middle of the country farmers.
No, this is bad. If we start putting tariffs up, the people who are already the forgotten people are going to be squeezed to death. A 10% drop in the dollar is really not good.
But can you think, Glenn, we were talking about this yesterday a little bit off the air. If let's just say, I have no faith in Congress or anything like that, so throw that out there. But if they do pass a 10% corporate income tax, what that would mean to this country?
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine the amount of jobs that would create?
Look, this is what has to happen. We have to be, first of all, I think we should all push. We should be calling your congressman and your senator and saying right now, get rid of Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. Get rid of them. Replace them right now. No confidence. Replace them. They have not been helpful to the president's agenda. They're not passing tax reform. They're not passing health care. Get rid of them. And let's start having an aggressive agenda. Right now, if you just passed a 10% tax on corporations, the jobs that would be created would be remarkable. Just remarkable. It can't be a, well, we're going to do this and then it'll expire in 3 years. No company is going to count on that. They're going to save their money. And that will stop job creation. That's the problem with all these tax cuts, is they make them contingent so they expire. Well, if you know you have a tax cut and you know you're going to be able to count on it, that's when you invest. If you know that I'm just going to save 10% right now, or in this case, what is it, 30%?
I mean, this would go for 39% now?
Yeah.
You want to drop it to 10 or 15?
Yeah, so you'd be saving 30%. If you save 30%, but you know that it could expire, and it will expire in 2 years, you're going to take that money and you're going to invest it and buy back your stock. You're going to do things that will make you more money, because it's not lasting. But if you know that it's going to last, that's when you'll invest. That's when you'll say, okay, this is going to be here for a while, so we can afford to hire a few people. We can afford to expand. Let's do that. That's what has to happen. And that's what we have to tell Congress. Move right now. First thing we should be demanding is that Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan are driven out of leadership. They are not helping the forgotten man, and they are not helping the president. They're not helping anyone. Back in a minute. Bill O'Reilly.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America, and welcome to Friday. We need to thank you for listening to this program. We just got some ratings information in, and we're up double-digit growth year to year, and we can't thank you enough.
Especially if you happen to be in, for example, Los Angeles, Dallas, Houston, Miami, Minneapolis, Sacramento, Salt Lake, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Kansas City, Columbus, West Palm, to name a few, with really good growth.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough. Now, the same cannot be said if you happen to be working at Fox News. Fox News is down double digits. They are down 27 and 24%. Some really bad news at Fox News, and I don't think people really realize what happened when Bill O'Reilly left. And we begin there with Bill O'Reilly right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program from BillO'Reilly.com, cleverly titled internet website. BillO'Reilly.com. Welcome to the program, Bill O'Reilly. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Beck. How are you doing today?
I'm very good. I know you don't want to talk about this because I know you don't speak ill of your former employer, but let me just lay out some facts here. The network is suffering greatly from your departure. Tucker Carlson is down 22% from its performance in Q1 at 9 p.m. The 8 p.m. hour down 24% from Q1. It looks like the whole thing is really cratering. This is not good if you're a conservative, but expected. 8 p.m. down. Fox News is down 24% in the 8 p.m., 20% in the 9 p.m., 15% in the 10 p.m., and that's with adults 25-54. Any thoughts on that, Bill, at all, that you want to say?
Well, first of all, congratulations on your ratings going up, because, you know, in a fractured media landscape, which means everybody's got the machines at their in their hands, it's hard to grow anywhere.
Yeah.
On television and radio. So you're doing something that people like, and I think on Fridays it's because of me. Friday, and that's kind of overwhelming.
Okay.
Everything.
All right. You know,
as far as FNC is concerned, you know, I had 20 plus good years there. I'm not going to badmouth them. I think that when you have a change in presentation, on any media or in any sports team, any competitive situation, you run a risk. And certainly, I'm not there okay, but the presentation has changed. That when you were there and I was there together and
Bill, let me interrupt you.
Sure.
I would agree with you that yes, you change anything and it does hurt the ratings. But first of all, there was a massive change. I was talking to Tom Scott. You know who Tom Scott is?
No.
Okay. Tom Scott is the he was the founder of Nantucket Nectars, and he's a big businessman.
Right.
And we were talking, and we talked about the loss of you at Fox. And you know, he said you don't even have to agree with Bill O'Reilly. He said, but I'm not hearing anybody talk about what that loss means. It's really an end of an era. And, you know, I grew up in this small town, Mount Vernon, Washington, and I lived up on Warren Street. 202 Warren was my house. And a block away was the Baptist church. And it used to have bells that rang. And down in the town was the Carnation milk plant. And the bells would chime every hour. And at 8 o'clock, at noon, and at 5 o'clock, they'd blow the whistle for the factory. When those two things stopped, it was just unsettling. And it changed. And it was the mark of the end of an era in that town. You know, you didn't have to watch you or agree with you, Bill, to have a sense of stability in the conservative movement. And you were always there, and it was always the same, and you were like that whistle or that bell. I don't think conservatives understand that everything is up for grabs right now, and everything is in flux and changing, and you were the mark of that.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts on that. Number one, it's not just conservatives. So we had when we did our surveys, we had a lot of independents and some liberals come in because I basically did fact-based presentation so that if you wanted to know facts that you were not going to hear on the network news or CNN and MSNBC, you came in because we would give them to you. For example, if I had been on the air last night, I would have concentrated on O.J. Simpson's narcissism. Where this guy has the absolute gall to tell a parole board, hey, I'm a non-confrontational person. I'm a straight shooter. What a bunch of crap.
It's crazy.
Guy's a sociopath. He's a murderer. And, you know, and so I would have brought in, I would have said, here are the five reasons he should be in jail forever for killing his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. And I would have listed the five reasons right on the screen.
What are the five reasons?
You got his DNA at the scene, and then on and on and on and on. I would have selected the top five reasons, but the DNA was number one. And then I would have said I covered the trial, and the reason that he got off, and this would have been provocative, and all hell would have broke loose, but that's okay, because I'm not afraid to do that, is because the African-American jury simply hates the justice system and wasn't going to give the justice system Simpson's head. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
There's no dispute. That's what happened. That's what I would have brought. You didn't see that. You didn't see it, okay? Because it's what the presentation now is for FNC, for Fox, and they have a lot of talent, by the way. They got a lot of talent still on that air, is more of a equivocation, Beck. It's not what you and I do, okay? So Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly, we don't equivocate. We say, this is right, this is wrong, and these are the facts to back it up. That's gone now, except for Hannity. Hannity's the last man standing. All right, so you get a presentation that isn't as exact. And that's what I say, if you're going to change that, if your management is going to say, we don't want what O'Reilly was bringing, even though he was bringing in 5-6 million viewers a night, we don't want that anymore. Okay, we want more equivocation, more subtlety, more, you know, oh, well, maybe he could have. Okay, then put it on and see what happens. And that is why I think the numbers are going down.
So you're in a room and you're alone. You can't leave the room. And it's Mike Tyson, O.J. Simpson, Bill Cosby. Who do you talk to?
Tyson.
Okay. O.J. Simpson and Sean Penn. Who do you talk to?
Oh, Penn. Penn is essentially harmless. He tries to help the Haitians and he tries to do good stuff. He just allows himself to be used because Sean Penn's whole presentation is emotion. Jack Nicholson once told me, I'm name dropping here, name dropping alert. Nicholson really likes Penn, and I like Nicholson. Nicholson is funny and he's honest, and he whenever I get to talk to him, I take the opportunity. He says, look, Penn is good heart. He's just, you know, the son of a guy who was blacklisted, a writer in the 50s, and he's got this far left view, and it's all about emotion. So, but in his heart, he's a good man.
Yeah, I've heard that about him too, that he's really actually a really good guy. He's just all screwed up with communism. I don't understand how Sean Penn doesn't see, I mean, you've ever sat down and really talked to him about, how do you not see this guy as a brutal dictator?
You're talking about Chavez, Hugo Chavez?
Yeah. Or any of them that he loves and embraces.
Well, because it's emotion. You know, his father, Leo Penn, was a communist. And, you know, he was raised in that environment. So, and you know, maybe I should back off from was a communist. All facts point to that. And then he suffered greatly. His father was a screenwriter in Hollywood.
Sounds like you're equivocating. I'm just saying.
Once in a while, you can overstate, Beck. I know you never.
No, I have not. I have never. I've never done that. So,
once in a while, I do.
Bill, let me talk to you about this. We have made a deal on this show, kind of almost unspoken. It's not like we really, you know, spent time in a meeting. I just said it on the air, and we all kind of looked at each other like, yeah, that's right. We're not talking, but we'll bring updates on the Russia thing. But we're not just talking about the Russia thing over and over again, because there's nothing to talk about until somebody brings charges or says there's nothing here. I mean, this back and forth about Russia is doing nobody any good, and we're losing valuable time, actually helping people that need help. Talk to me a little bit about what you think about healthcare. Who's to blame here?
All right, but the Russia thing is interesting. Let me get that, and then you can take your break, because I know your ad rates are going through the roof now. Look, the Russia thing is a contrivance. It's a contrivance, and it's being used by the hate Trump, destroy Trump media and the Democratic Party to make it impossible for Trump to govern. Okay? That's what it's about. There is a possibility that Paul Manafort, and I tweeted this today, and I've got 2 million tweet followers, and they follow me around wherever I go. 2 million people.
2 million. Wow.
Yeah. Now, I think that's pretty good.
It is.
Pretty good.
It is good for a guy, especially for a guy who says the Twitter and the tweeter. Right. I'm on the tweeter.
I have a little burn, a yellow burn.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. But anyway, look, it's being used to try to destroy the Trump administration. That being said, keep your eye on Paul Manafort, the former campaign, just in the campaign for a few weeks, because I think that this guy is the one that's going to go down. And I tweeted that today, Beckett, and on BillO'Reilly.com.
By the way, I just, I don't mean to quibble here, but you have 1.98 million viewers, not two. I just wanted to. Back in just
a
second.
You know that.
I've got my researchers. I mean, Bill, we like the truth here. And we'll be back in just a second with Bill O'Reilly at BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up for his daily podcast and get the truth and the no spin from Bill O'Reilly himself every day. You can get it at BillO'Reilly.com. And now this. If you travel for business, stop wasting your time pricing flights and hotels at the same old sites. There's a better way to buy business travel. The only site you need is Upside.com. Here's the Upside difference. You save money by bundling flights and hotels together for one price. Then they reward you with a gift card to places like Amazon every time you buy a trip. Now, it takes the average person, I think, like 87 minutes to book their travel, book their hotels, everything else. The Upside difference is that you can do this now in under 5 minutes. And you can go ahead and check. The first couple of times you will. You'll go off and you'll see if you can find a better price. You're not going to. And it's because they bundle everything together. And if you say, oh, I'll leave, it'll ask you, you want to leave an hour earlier, we can save you this amount of money. No, sure. And everybody is incentivized. The airline is incentivized. The hotel is incentivized. You're incentivized because you get the gift card from Amazon, and your company is incentivized because they save a lot of money on travel. And I mean a boatload of money. This is what we use for travel. Please check this out. If you're a business leader, you're in business for yourself, or you're just a frequent traveler, this is the way to book your hotel and your flight. It's Upside.com. Right now, guaranteed to get a $100 gift card from Amazon on your first trip. Guaranteed. Go to Upside.com. Use the promo code Beck to get that guarantee of a $100 gift card. Minimum purchase is required. See site for complete details. It's a better way to buy business travel. Upside.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. So let me delve into the Russia thing with you just a bit, because you said this is, you know, a plan by the liberals to make sure that he can't govern. And I think, yes, it is. But it is also, there's bad stuff that was going on with his people. And he is not making it any better for himself. For instance, this, quote, secret meeting between him and Putin. I mean, why not just come out instead of saying, I bumped into him on the way to the buffet table with Melania and we just talked. Why? Then it was 15 minutes. Then it was about abortion. Now we know that it was an hour. I mean, why not just come out and say it? Why does he keep doing this, Bill?
I don't know. I mean, I agree that the president has not. He needs to read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. All right. That's number one. Donald Trump needs to read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals.
Why is that?
Because that's what's happening to him. Alinsky, who was an absolute radical progressive American who wanted to overthrow our capitalistic system, devised guerrilla tactics to diminish or harm his opponents. Hillary Clinton, well, was an amateur perp.
You're right, but he is also, I mean, I don't think he needs to read it. He lives that himself. I mean, you know, Trump lives that himself.
He needs to read it so he can not play into what Alinsky's doing.
Right.
Alinsky's dead, but his adherents.
Yeah.
Look, so it's pretty obvious to you and me that President Trump is not defending himself properly. Would that be an accurate statement?
I think he is, yes, but I think it goes further than that. He is actually.
Now you're into speculation, Beck.
No. I'm going to bring up something that, you know, he is now talking about. His attorneys are investigating the investigators. That's just, stop it. What are you doing? It just makes you look like you have something to hide. Just why can't the president focus on tax reform?
I agree with you. He plays into the hands of those who want to destroy him by elongating the story, okay, and giving his critics another week on CNN of BS. So I'm agreeing with you. But if he would read Alinsky, then he would know why they're doing what they're doing. So look, I've always said I'm not afraid of the Mueller investigation. I don't think that Trump should be trying to undermine Mueller, because Mueller can't do anything. He can't do anything unless he has a fact that he can present to the American people. It's not like a commentator.
Right.
It's not like these pinheads on MSNBC. Mueller's got to say, this happened, I can prove it, and then we go from there.
Right.
So if Trump didn't do anything, and he's adamant that he did not do anything with the Russians during the campaign, then he doesn't have anything to worry about.
Does it matter?
You can't present opinion and half-baked stuff to the American people. Mueller's career would be destroyed if he did that.
Does it matter that, does it matter if it turns out he did have contact with the Russians and he was looking for this information?
Of course it matters. Then he would be branded a liar. And then that's the thing. It's an old saying, it isn't the crime, it's the cover-up.
Right.
And so if he did do it, then, I mean, the American people will probably turn against him.
What was interesting, I don't know if you saw this poll. There's a new poll out that shows that 45% of Republicans do not believe the meeting even took place, even though it was Donald Jr. that released the email. They believe the email is fake news.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you that the way these polling questions are worded, this, that, and the other thing, I did not see that.
Okay.
But it would be hard for me to believe that 45% of Republicans think the meeting didn't take place.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys who believes that the media is actively trying to subvert the administration actively.
Well, I wouldn't.
All of this stuff to me, you know, I got to look at it. I got to ask questions for who was at that.
Okay, so let's come back in a second. Well, they're going to talk about health care and tax cuts and what else Bill O'Reilly saw in the news that makes a difference to your life.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Is the Glenn Beck Program.
The day the world went nuclear, new book for young readers. It's the companion to Killing the Rising Sun by Bill O'Reilly. He's got a poll out. Bill, I'm going to take your poll. You tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay? Test your knowledge of the atomic bomb history. Latest poll on BillO'Reilly.com. Where was the first atomic bomb successfully tested? It was New Mexico.
Correct.
Yeah. Where did the physicist Enrico Fermi first meet with Navy officials to discuss fission? I'm probably wrong on this, but I want to say Columbia University.
I think that's correct, but I'm not sure.
Whoa, this what? Is your... What? Hold it.
Yeah, it's on BillO'Reilly.com, but I didn't do the quiz. My genius savants did it.
All right.
I don't get all of them right.
Okay, I think Columbia is right, don't you? Albert Einstein wrote to which president urging him to look into atomic research? That would be Roosevelt.
Yes, Roosevelt was on board early.
In what year did more money become available for uranium research from the War Department? I'd like to say 1942. It's 39, 40, 41, 42.
Yeah, I think it was earlier than
that. Okay. Who was put in charge of the new uranium research project? I want to say that was Oppenheimer.
Very good, Beck.
What was the project name? Manhattan Project. Who was the director at the Los Alamos Laboratory? I'd like to say it's Leslie Groves.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
How many types of bombs were being developed during the war? Two. Correct?
I think it's to, it might be, you know, that's a tough question. There's a lot of nuance.
Okay.
But I'll go with two.
The United States dropped atomic bombs on which Japanese city? That was easy. Of course, it was Tokyo and Fairbanks.
And that's why Godzilla got, that's right.
After many tense years of negotiation, what was signed in 1963? Comprehensive nuclear test ban treaty. I'd say a limited nuclear test ban treaty.
Yes.
Okay. Bill O'Reilly.
The Bikini Atoll test.
So let's go to what Congress should be doing right now.
Just before we get there, I just want to tell everybody that now that you've ruined the quiz on BillO'Reilly.com, they all know it. You should still go in there because we have a lot of history stuff going on, and we're turning that into a news/history website. But go ahead now. Healthcare. Here we go.
Okay. Healthcare. Would Bill O'Reilly be happy with a simple repeal, no replace, just repeal at this point with a 2-year window to actually, you know, replace and fix it?
Yes.
Do you want to share more? This doesn't have to be interview.
It's basically for those of us who understand that the Obamacare legislation is an income redistribution scheme. And that's what it is.
Yep.
All right. It's taking money out of the pockets of working Americans, anybody making more than $75,000, and putting it into the pockets of people who don't have a lot. That's what this is. All right. That you strip away all the other garbage. It comes down to Barack Obama wanting to take income from Americans who have a little bit more and giving it to Americans who have a little bit less, because you can't see certain doctors. The healthcare system is in disarray because insurance companies have bailed out. There's no reason to keep it. There's no reason to keep Obamacare. If you give the pinheads in Congress 2 years, maybe they'll get something done. I would rather see 1 year, but these people are so inefficient, so incompetent, that 1 year they start to shake because, you know, that cuts into their gym time.
Outrageous. So let me ask you this, Bill. I give Susan Collins a break, because as a Republican, she never voted for the repeal bill. I mean, everybody else voted for it like 178 times.
She never did. I don't give her a break because she's not a Republican.
Right. I know that. But hang on just a second.
Again, let me bring something fresh and new to your life, because that's my job. All right. Fresh and new to Glenn Beck. The reason that Susan Collins, who is not a Republican, opposes this Republican health plan is because it defunds Planned Parenthood. That's why. That's what's sticking in her craw. And she is an income redistributionist, Ms. Collins. So she should be a Democrat.
So I know that. I know who she is. The voters know who she is. She's never been for the repeal of Obamacare. So we got that. However, The ones like Portman in Ohio, who has said to the people, has on his own website how damaging Obamacare is to the state of Ohio, and Ohio's being hit really hard, for him to come out and say, day one, yeah, I'm not repealing it. It will do no good for the state of Ohio. He voted for the repeal when all these Republicans knew that Obama wouldn't sign it. They used that to speak to their base, to get votes, to get more money, to gain in the polls. And now there's four of them, and I don't count Susan Collins as this because she never was for it. They were just total and complete weasels. And there's more than four of them. These are just the weasels who are willing to pop their head up above ground.
But you know, they'll always give you an excuse that Medicaid cutbacks are too much for the states. That's Portman's mantra, because he plays into the Kasich scenario of we in Ohio are compassionate, and that we need the Medicaid expansion to continue to be compassionate. That's where these guys come from. So you know they're not going to admit to that. But my posture is this. What's good for the country, right? Let's get back to what's good for the country. You've got to have a safety net. You have to, because there are children involved.
Right.
There are irresponsible parents who won't or can't make a living, but there's kids. All right. You gotta help the kids. So you gotta have Medicaid. But you can't have unlimited Medicaid, and you can't have everybody gets it. All right. You can't have the system being so corrupt that anybody can game it. So this caps it. This Republican thing caps the Medicaid and then slaps it back into the states and say, you be efficient. You run it. Because we're only going to give you this much taxpayer money.
So I've been,
that's where it starts.
I've been saying this week that we have a situation to where Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell have proven themselves to be no friend of the voter and, quite honestly, no friend of Donald Trump. They're not getting anything done. Here they have the biggest smokescreen in the world. Yeah, while everybody is focused on Russia, watch the other hand. The other hand is doing nothing but strangling the forgotten man in the heartland of America to death.
I agree with you on McConnell, and I know that firsthand because he wouldn't put Kate's law for a standalone vote, the pinhead. I think that the Speaker got it through the House. You can't come down on him as hard as you come down on McConnell, who's an old-time pal. He shouldn't be there. He's obsolete. He doesn't know how to negotiate. He doesn't like Trump. I mean, there's like 50 things on a man's resume. But now, if they can't get a tax cut passed, if they can't do that, then you kiss the Republican Party goodbye for 6 years.
Oh, because more than that.
Americans are saying, okay, look, you know, the healthcare thing, we really don't understand it. It's very complicated. You know, we're angry about it, but we don't understand it. Everybody understands a tax cut.
Yeah.
And if you can't get that done with a majority in the House and the Senate, if you can't get that done, all right, then forget it. Pack up. Get out, because the Democrats are going to come in big time. And then you're going to have a socialist country. That's what these people want.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I agree with you. We will have a socialist country if the Republicans fail on things like tax cuts. If they fail there, they're toast. They're toast. And we are toast.
Right. And they're so stupid. The economy is actually growing. An article today in the Wall Street Journal says that the lower wage earners are growing the fastest. So it's working. So Trump's bombast and his threats and all of that, it's all working. Stock market's up, more money in people's pockets to invest.
Dollar is down by 10%. Dollar is down by 10%.
Well, right. I mean, look, if you go into the Czech Republic, you're going to get hurt. But if you're standing here in Missouri, you're doing okay. And if they pass a tax cut, the economy will even do better. So these people, I mean, they're just driving me nuts.
So what happens if they don't pass at least a good tax cut? What happens to Donald Trump in 2020? Will the
he'll get killed?
Yeah,
I don't even know if he's going to make it to 2020 if he doesn't start to he's got to consolidate. But if he doesn't get the tax cut done, if the president can't get that done. I don't know. I mean, you're a lame duck and you got 3 years left to go in your term, because it's just going to be Armageddon. It's going to be crazy.
What do you mean?
I think the president has got to stop everything and just, you know, get into the tax cut business and get in fast.
So if he can't get this done, you think he'll lose so much support that they'll be able to impeach him?
Or do
you
think power?
No, but you just said
power. His own party is turning on him. Go ahead.
But you just said you don't think he'll make it for the 4 years.
Because once you lose power, once you lose support of the people, it's like Nixon, okay? They walk away, all right? Then the bad guys come in and they're going to throw everything they can at him. They'll trump up stuff. They'll make up stuff. I want everybody to check out Cheryl Atkinson's book, The Smear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? It's right behind Legends and Lies, The Civil War, and the New York Times bestseller. Okay? Thank you. Thank you very much. Pretty good plug, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Goes
anyway,
excellent.
Expertly
smear,
done.
The Smear, and you're in that book big time, Beck.
I know.
Big
I know.
Time.
I know.
Okay? Every American should read that book, and then you're going to know what's going to happen to Donald Trump. If he loses his support, and he hasn't so far, his people are staying with him.
They are right? softening, but they're staying with him.
Done, well,
yeah. Yeah. All right. BillO'Reilly.com. He's got a billion books out. He's got a great website, and it's getting better every day. And it's BillO'Reilly.com. And make sure you join his little club. It's like the Mickey Mouse Club. And he sings to
little
you.
Little club, Beck.
Yeah. He sings
little
to you at the
club.
End. It's what? What'd you say?
It's not even 2 million full on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean,
he doesn't even have 2 million people. It has 1.98.
All right, Bill O'Reilly on Twitter. Once they hear this, we'll be at 3 million on Saturday.
BillO'Reilly.com. Thanks, Bill. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks for having me in.
You bet. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, I do want to talk to you, and I do want to disagree with Bill on one thing. He says the economy is doing fine. I will tell you that if we can get tax cuts, we have a chance of pulling this out of a nosedive, elongating the problem perhaps, but at least giving us chance to really prepare for impact. The dollar has lost 10%. That doesn't affect Czechoslovakia in a bad way. That actually helps Czechoslovakia. It means that the goods that we're selling, they will be able to buy more of. So that is good, because that means our jobs will increase, that our factories will be in demand. The problem is, the dollar losing 10% value means that the price of everything that you buy from overseas, anything that is bought from China or anywhere else, the cost of those have just gone up 10%, because we have 10% less in purchasing power with our dollar. This is why a strong dollar has always been a double-edged sword. It's great for buying. It's horrible for jobs and selling. Now, we are the number two exporter, and this is going to be good. But every time you walk into Walmart, know that almost everything you buy there is from China. And it's going to cost 10% more. So you're going to feel that inflation because of the dollar deflating. So what is a hedge against deflation and inflation? It has always been gold. Because the gold standard, it doesn't change. It's what, when things always break down, and this is for 5,000 years, when things really break down, you can't get away from it. You need something that is of intrinsic value, and that something has always been gold. So what do you do? Well, I will tell you that if you're investing in your 401k or your IRA right now, and you have money invested in the stock market, please hear me, is bogus. It's bogus. The government has made money cheap for the banks. The banks have taken that money and they've put it in their coffers. Then they've given that money to the big boys, and the big boys, these giant corporations, they're not creating new jobs. They're taking all of those profits and they're buying their own stock back with that borrowed money or with that profit. That's what's happening. When this game goes away, that stock market is not going to last. You could take 10% of your IRA and you could put it into gold right now. And right now, if you invest $25,000 or more, you'll get a one-year price guarantee. If you put $2,500 in, you get 3 months price guarantee, which means if the price of gold goes down, they make it up in gold. If the price of gold goes down over the next year and you're at $25,000, they'll make it up with gold. So you lose no money. Your IRA and 401k won't do that. Goldline will. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. Call them now.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
888-727-BACK.
So this is pretty...
The Glenn Beck Program.
This is pretty big news, isn't it? I mean, I think Bill O'Reilly just made news here. Saying that he thought that he doesn't know if Donald Trump will make it his full term. Because if Congress doesn't pass tax cuts, his base will erode, and then the wolves will eat. And I think he's exactly right. That's why we've been saying this week. You want to help? Call Congress. Get McConnell out of there right now.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
I got to warn you, Don Imus just wrote, said, I've got a few things I have to say. So I'm not, I know it could be trouble. I'm not sure what he has to say, what he wants to talk about, or if we should even take the phone call. Maybe we can all pretend we're not home right now, but he may be calling in the next few minutes. Also, I think the greatest governor in America today, and definitely the greatest governor I have ever lived under, Greg Abbott from the great state of Texas, is going to be joining us here in a few minutes. Also, a little more on O.J. Simpson and what you can do. If you're a Trump supporter, what you can do to make Bill O'Reilly's, you know, I guess kind of prediction not come true. He just said that he didn't know if Donald Trump was going to last his whole term. He may be impeached. Why he said that and what that means to you, we begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello and welcome to the program. Bill O'Reilly did not say that Donald Trump would be impeached, but it was kind of the implication. It might be just through resignation because he said he'll have zero support and then the wolves will come out.
There are qualifiers, big ones on that.
Yeah, if
he didn't pass tax reform being the biggest one.
If Congress didn't start to move now and start passing tax reform. Look, tax reform is the biggest thing that will affect absolutely everybody. If they do real tax reform and pass it, which they can do, they have both the House and the Senate and the presidency, and you know Donald Trump just wants a win. I mean, at this point, he'll take a win of any kind. So he'll sign it. If you can't get that through, Bill O'Reilly said, I don't think he makes it his whole term. I'm not sure if he makes it his whole term, because then you start to lose the support of your base, who just, and we know it, we're hearing it all the time. You know, look, I need a couple more bucks in my paycheck. I need some relief out here. And that comes through tax reform.
What do you think about the theory that because of the failure of the health care plan, at least so far, that this makes tax reform more likely because Republicans are going to have something
to
tout.
Have something.
Something to pass, some success.
I think with the death of tax reform, or the death of, at least so far, of the health care bill, that I think makes not just tax reform, but possibly really good tax reform. They need something. You know, I'm sorry. I know that the GOP has already announced that they're running against the media in 2018. That ain't going to save you. That's just not going to save you. It might save the president, but it will not save Congress. Congress will, and if you think things are bad right now with Trump, lose Congress.
It might not even save Trump next time.
Well, if he doesn't accomplish any of the goals that he set out to do. I mean, what was that, Pat? You had a story earlier this week that we didn't cover, and I don't want to go in depth in it, but the story that you had earlier this week of the list of things that he promised, and they're just not happening. And I know people say, hey, let's talk about his accomplishments. We do. We do. You know, he got Gorsuch in. There was a couple of other things that he's done that were pretty
EPA,
big.
Paris, good. EPA was got us good. Out of that.
Paris very, Agreement was really good.
Very good with all the environment stuff.
Regulations he's done.
Also, yeah. Give him credit with net neutrality and the FCC. Ajit yep. Pai was a yep. really good pick yep. there. There's been some really good things that have happened. But a lot of the big promises have not. I mean, it's early still.
Yeah. But it's not going well because no. of Congress.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, the sell on Donald Trump was that he could make these deals, right? I mean, Donald Trump,
right.
because we knew the Congress sucked. We were already there, and we were all there. The sell on Trump was that he was going to be different and make the Congress do things that were better. So far, it hasn't come to pass. But again, we're 6 months in. I mean, you know, who knows? He's got time.
I don't think that Donald Trump is, you know, Donald Trump is the, and I mean this. I don't mean this as like it's going to sound. I don't mean this as a negative. Donald Trump is the circus that comes to town. Donald Trump is, you know, is the circus that gets everybody excited, and you're like, oh, it's going to be great, and the fireworks and the elephants, and it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. He gets you to close the deal. He's not the architect of deals.
No.
He's not the guy who says, wait a minute, hang on. He's the guy who gets you excited about the deal. Now, he hasn't done that because he's so busy with the Russia stuff and the press. But the problem is we don't have an architect for conservative ideas at all, at least in McConnell or Paul Ryan. They both have to go.
2007, Paul Ryan was pretty good.
Yeah,
well. It was 2017, Paul Ryan. I don't know what he's doing. And that's the issue, I would say, with Congress, is that the great thing about Trump is that he'll just sign anything. Like, get him something that has a Republican stamp on it, and he will sign it. So when you have that opportunity, you should put something really good. For example, like, let's go back to immigration reform for a second. If good immigration reform Republican, or not, you know, hard border guys, you know, good border guys, pass something when George W. Bush was president, there's a good chance George W. Bush would have vetoed it.
Yes.
Because George W. Bush was not on the same page
Correct.
As the people who were tough
Correct.
On the border.
Correct.
You have an opportunity with this president.
Correct.
That he will go on board with really the details of these policies
yep.
are not important to him at all.
At all.
So just pass something good and he'll sign it. The problem with it is it does not seem like the Congress wants to pass something good.
No, because they are not, you know, look. And this is my biggest problem with people like Portman in Ohio. And give me the names of the other one. The one in West Virginia.
Capito, Murkowski in Alaska is another one. There's a great ad I saw on Facebook that one of the super PACs, I think, released, which was all of these guys in 2015 on the floor of the Senate just praising. We got to get rid of Obamacare. It's got to happen. We've got to repeal this thing. It's hurting people.
They wanted the money.
Yep.
They wanted your money. Mm-hmm. Think of this. America, I want you to really think of this. I hate to add fuel to your already fire, but think of this. If you're living in a state with one of these people, they came to you and they said, I hear your pain. I hear your pain. And I see what it's doing. I see that it's giving you a $5,000 deductible and a $1,500 a month insurance payment. That is not workable. And I understand that. And that's why I need you to come out, not just to vote, but I need you to spend your time getting other people out to vote. Spend your money to just in gas. Spend your time, which is money. Send us a check. Put your name behind me. Get behind my campaign. Vote for me. They used your time, your money, your credibility because they said, we're going to repeal this because we know the damage it's doing to your family. And now what's happening? Now they're saying, well, no, we can't repeal it. They never intended on repealing it. The people like Murkowski and Portman, they never intended on repealing it. Mitch McConnell never intended. Paul Ryan never intended. They've got to go. And you need to call your congressman, you need to call your senator and tell them, get new leadership. You guys promised us. We are not going to fall for the same trap over and over and over and over again. Look at what happened to the Republican Party. Don't mean to open up a wound here, but the Republican Party split. It's already split. And the Republicans are already in trouble. If they're afraid of that split, you better look out, because now this time the Trump supporters are going to go with the split. The Trump, you're going to lose those guys too. Because those people voted with their pocketbook. Those people voted because they had no one else left. And here's the craziest thing. The GOP is afraid of the Trump supporters. There are talks in Washington. If you don't think that Donald Trump will be impeached, if his poll numbers go below 30, he will be impeached, because the Republicans will jump ship. They want to. They don't like him. They don't like that he's a bully. They don't like that they can't trust him. They don't like him. And they're all saying they like him now. Why? Because they're afraid of you.
He's still got 85 to 88% approval among Republicans.
So they know if he turns against you, you know, or not you, but them, if he turns against them, he has a good shot of them losing their election, them losing their support. They don't want to risk that. But I'm telling you now, the conversations in the hallway is all about the percentage. Those guys are talking about what's the percentage of approval before we can move. They're not even thinking about you. They're not. They're surely not thinking about the president. Now, I'm coming to you as a guy who, I don't necessarily support the president, but I do support the things that are right for America. My loyalty is not to a congressman, to a senator, or to a president. My loyalty is to you. My loyalty is to the average American who is struggling. So we need to have that loyalty to each other with our principles. Now, how do we do that? We bind together and we say, you like the president, you don't like the president. It doesn't matter. Repealing Obamacare changes your life. Lowering taxes completely changes your life.
Or repeal taxes, that'd be good too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. 16th. Let's go after the 16th Amendment.
Could,
I like it.
I think somebody bold right now, could get away with it. I really do. I think somebody really bold could get away with that right now. I think Donald Trump, if he was smart, please, Mr. President, please. If Donald Trump suddenly could find a way to just turn off all the televisions and not listen to anything that anybody else is saying, and somebody could come into the office and say, Mr. President, please listen, I need you to focus and turn off all the televisions.
Ironically, you're giving this advice on television.
Yeah, I know. But turn off all of the televisions and stop listening to what they're saying about you. You could be the most popular president ever, ever, right now, if you go for a massive structural tax cut. If you just do that, just that one thing will change the economy. If you will repeal Obamacare and give a massive tax cut with a 1 to 2 year period of trying to figure it out, and Mr. President, make it a 1 year, because in 2 years, Congress will drag this out so long that then we'll be up against an election. And God forbid, if somebody loses, then we will have socialized medicine. So you need the tax cut and Obamacare repeal to be working by the time we get to 2018. And Mr. President, it can. It can. But you've got to make the case to the American people, and they are so hungry for it right now, they will help you move Congress. And it could happen. It could happen. I don't think he's going to turn off the television. So now we have to appeal to Congress. And the only thing we can appeal to Congress is get new leadership. Get them out of there. Call your congressmen. Call your senators. Look, you know me. I haven't said that for 4 years. I don't believe in calling those weasels anymore. This one I do. There's an opportunity. It's been such a colossal failure for Donald Trump and for the Republican Party. It's been such a colossal failure. The leadership needs to be held responsible. You change and take action right now. You can turn everything around. But if you don't pass real tax reform after a failure of health care, and you don't pass a repeal of health care, in 2 years, it is not going to be pretty. And in 2 years, you will have a Democratic Congress and Senate, and you will not have President Trump once the Democrats control the House and the Senate. You won't have it because they'll have three of the four branches. I'm sorry, they will have...
Two of the three.
No, they will have three of the five. I count the media now as a branch of government. You will have, they will have, and then soon they will also have the Supreme Court. They'll have, eventually they will have the judiciary. So
you have executive, legislative.
Four.
Judicial.
Yes, there's three. Those are the three branches. I add the media. Four.
The media.
Not five. Four.
Okay.
Okay.
I include Major League Soccer as a
as a fifth branch.
It's time to stop thinking that the media is just a shadow branch. It's not. It's an actual branch being used by a party, and it is being used by one party. And we are coming into a one party system as we are seeing now. Mitch McConnell is part of the Progressive Party. Period.
Well, I mean, O'Reilly was completely correct when he was talking about Susan Collins. I mean, there's such little light between Susan Collins and Joe Manchin that she may as well just be a Democrat.
But, you know, we keep saying, well, that's the best we can do up there. Well, then we should stop counting her as a Republican.
Yeah, I think it's better to just think of her as a potential vote. Where, like, Manchin, I mean, look, Manchin should be voting for these health care reform bills. They're super left anyway, and he's in a state that Donald Trump had 68% of the vote. I mean, how he continues to be an automatic no with no pressure from the people of West Virginia, apparently, of what the president wants is amazing.
Now this, it's summer, which means driving season is in full swing, and the last thing your summer road trip needs is an unexpected car repair. Nothing is cheap when it comes to your car. That's why I would like to recommend getting the extended coverage from CarShield. Stu, you actually have this, don't you?
Yeah.
With your car? And did your car coverage just expire because you've had that car for a while?
Yeah, it's a 2012, so I've had it for, 5 years now, and it gets to that point, certainly past the actual warranty.
Yeah.
And you want to be prepared for those things.
You have a water pump that goes out, costs you $500. An air conditioner costs you $1,500. New engine, on a car like Jeffy's can cost you up to tens of dollars.
You can't drive. Well, that particular car is up tens of dollars.
tens of dollars. Anyway, CarShield, the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection. It's affordable protection that could save you thousands of dollars that will cover your repair. Sign up today. You also get the VIP treatment from CarShield's administrators, 24/7 roadside assistance, and a rental car while yours is in the shop. Save yourself from the high repair bills. It is 800-CAR-6100. 800-CAR-6100. Mention the promo code Beck or visit carshield.com and use that promo code Beck and you'll save 10%. CarShield.com, promo code Beck, carshield.com. Deductible may apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
You know, I have to tell you, for the first time, I have actual hope. For the first time in, 2 years that I actually have hope that things could get done. I've never believed that Donald Trump believes in any of the things he said that he was going to do. I mean, he is a liberal Democrat, been his whole life, a guy who's been pushing for, single payer, universal health care, et cetera, but he's a populist. He saw a way to win. Okay, That has meant bad things to me because we knew that there would be people like Mitch McConnell who would take advantage of that and we'd get crappy stuff. Well, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan have failed. Now you can, if you're somebody who didn't necessarily support the president, but you want things to go through that are conservative, that will actually help people, you actually have a chance to do it right now because Donald Trump will sign those things. He will sign them. George Bush wouldn't have signed them. He will. So now we, the people, have the power. If we unite, if you love the president and you want to help him, the way to help him is get tax bills on his desk. Get repeal of Obamacare on his desk. You want to help the average American and you don't like Donald Trump? Do the same thing. We're united in purpose right now and we can get these things done. Call Congress and the Senate and tell them, replace your leadership.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
We have, I can't believe it, it's time for another election in the state of Texas for governor. Greg Abbott, looking ahead now at the 2018 election for governor. I can't imagine anyone. You know, I think Jesus might beat him, but I can't.
That's about it.
David Bowie, Bowie would probably beat him as well. David Bowie would not.
David Bowie's dead, so David. He would not beat him.
Davy Crockett.
So Bowie.
Are you talking about Jim Bowie?
Jim Bowie.
Davy Crockett might.
Davy Crockett might.
But they're long gone. They wouldn't either.
Greg Abbott probably will be the next governor of Texas. Welcome to the program, Governor Abbott. How are you, sir?
Glenn, I'm doing great. Hey, let me mention something about what you were just talking about, because you may not know this. I bet a lot of your audience may not know this, but it's one of the challenges that we face in my reelection as governor. It's the name George Soros. George Soros got involved in the last election cycle when Hillary was on the ballot in Harris County, Texas, which is where Houston, Texas is located. George Soros gave $500,000, $500,000, to the Democrat candidate running for district attorney. And he won, every Democrat in Harris County got elected on a countywide basis. When George Soros makes an investment like that, he's going to come back and invest more. So Texans need to buckle their chin strap, understanding that George Soros is trying to turn Texas into his vision of New York, Illinois, and California. If we lose Texas, we lose the United States of America.
We really do. How can we help on that? I mean, we have so many people that are moving in. And I gave a speech to all these big, CEOs of all the biggest companies that are moving in. And it was at a dinner, and I was the keynote. And I said, how many people here moved here because of the taxes and because of, the environmental, regulations, the workplace regulations? It was impossible to do business elsewhere, so you came to Texas. Almost all of them raised their hand. I said, how many of you have told your employees that that's why you moved to Texas? Because all your employees are coming here and they're just going to vote for the same crap that they did in California. How do we protect that or teach people this?
Well, it's a huge issue. So many Texans are concerned that with all of these companies that are moving their headquarters to Texas, that are bringing their jobs to the state of Texas, they want to make sure Texas is not becoming like California, New York. You know, Texas leads the nation in net in-migration from other states, with California being the number one import state, New York being the number two import state. And it's important that the liberals in California and New York don't hijack the Texas way. One thing that we do, we focus on communicating with them. I will tell you that last time I ran, the first time I ran for governor, we saw this dynamic taking place, and we wanted to make sure that the Californians who were coming to the state of Texas would not hijack this state. So we added a question to our poll. You know, typically if you answer a poll, you get these demographic questions, what's your age range, your income range, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We added a question, have you moved to Texas recently from another state? If so, which one? A lot of people had moved from California, but we knew after they had answered that question who they were going to be voting for in the governor's election. Two-thirds of the people who were coming from California were voting for me. So the good news is that most of the people who are coming are conservative.
Wow,
and it makes sense. It makes sense in this regard. Listen, if you are dependent upon government to run your life, the last place you'll leave is California, and the last place you'll come to is the state of Texas. And we're trying to educate people who are coming here. Listen, if you're coming to Texas counting on government to run your life, you're coming to the wrong place. If you're coming here to be dependent upon government, you're coming to the wrong place. Texas is a place for individual liberty, for individual independence. That's the way we run things here, and that's the way we expect to keep things here in Texas.
So one of the best things that we have here in Texas is a legislature that goes away for every year. You know, just it comes in session for a few months, and then it's gone for a year. Or is it 2 years?
It's every other year.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's great. It's exactly what our founders had in mind. With a legislative body. But you've just called a special session, and one of the things is property tax reform. We're getting killed on property tax. What do we do?
Texas has a fabulous economic environment. It's one of the reasons why so many companies are locating here. One concern, however, about Texas is the skyrocketing property taxes. This simply must be addressed. There are people in Dallas-Fort Worth, in Houston, in our cities, large and small, across the state of Texas, who are being taxed out of their homes because of property taxes, especially our seniors. And so this is my top priority, is to find ways that we can reduce property taxes. There is a proposal on this special session call that lasts 30 days that will attempt to hamstring the growth in property taxes. It's called a rate rollback, and that is that if a city or county tries to raise your property taxes by more than 4%, the voter will get to decide whether or not they want to accept or to reject that property tax. But all that does is contain the growth of property taxes. I'm talking about trying to find ways that we actually cut property taxes. And so part of what we're focusing on here in the next 30 days is to find ways to do that. But that's my primary goal between now and the next session. You know, you mentioned these sessions that we have 140 days every 2 years. And I'm sure, Glenn, you've heard before the mantra in the state of Texas. We want to change that so that we meet for only 2 days every 140 years. That would be true limited government right there.
So do you think, besides taxes, can the state of Texas do to help people? And we don't have many of the problems that we, you know, that you see up north in Ohio and all these other states, but we certainly see it with health care. With the collapse of health care reform and a repeal of Obamacare, what is on the horizon that you've seen anybody working on that can bypass this and help people with, you know, a $5,000 deductible and $1,500 a month of insurance premium?
Fixing health care is essential, and it sounds like you may be a tiny bit ahead of the game here because you said with the repeal of Obamacare. Listen, we got to get a vote.
The failure of a repeal of Obamacare.
Exactly. Well, here's the deal. Obamacare is a total disaster. There is no viability for the future of Obamacare. So what we need to do is we need to repeal it, and we need to replace it. This is very simple. It's the same principles that Republicans have been talking about for the past 6 years, and that is to return health care to where it belongs, and that is with the consumer, with the patient, to restore the doctor-patient relationship. Let the consumer have choices in this, choices who their insurer is going to be, choices as to what doctor they can go to, choices into the way that they purchase health care insurance. That open market, the free market system, is the best system possible, and it must be instilled into the health care system. Point one. Point two is that we have to have greater transparency. Listen, when so many people go into a doctor or to an emergency room or whatever the case may be, they just know that they're being treated. They don't have a clue how much it's going to cost, whether or not they want to pay this or that or reject this or, mm-hmm. or that option. People need to have choices and informed choices when they go through the healthcare system process. And we must rein in the skyrocketing prices of our drugs, our pharmaceuticals here in across the United States. So there's so many things that can and must be done if we're going to fix this. And the solutions are, to be honest, are fairly easy. It's just a matter of developing the will up in Washington, D.C. to make sure this gets done. Because if not, I tell you what, the members of the current House and Senate are going to own this, whether it succeeds or fails.
I've said this for the last almost 20 years about our borders, that if we take our border laws seriously, the people of Mexico will as well. If they know that you're not welcome here if you're crossing the border, you lose a lot of people that are coming over. Only the most nefarious or the most in need are going to cross the border. We've seen now we're at a six-year low by doing nothing other than Donald Trump saying, I'm going to enforce these laws. Six-year low on the border. Are we going to get a big, beautiful solar panel wall? Have you heard from Washington? What is coming? Anything?
Yes, I've spoken on multiple occasions with Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly. In fact, I took him on a helicopter ride of the Rio Grande Valley to show him what the border looked like in that region of the state of Texas. And since then, I've spoken with him and his staff on multiple occasions to learn what they are doing. Let's first talk about the first point that you made, and that is the decline in the number of people who are coming across the border. There are two reasons why you engage in both prosecutions as well as law enforcement, and that is, one, is to make arrests and take dangerous people off the streets, but two, you want to have a deterrent effect so that through your law enforcement efforts, you are going to deter crime.
Right.
Under Barack Obama, he had the Olay version of law enforcement, and that is, if you would imagine in a bullfight where the matador just says Olay and lets the bull run right on through. Barack Obama refused to enforce the laws concerning immigration, and hence it brought in people coming in literally from across the entire world. And because the Trump administration has made clear that they are going to enforce the rule of law, that has led to that dramatic reduction in the number of people coming across the border.
I only have a couple of minutes left. We're leading the way. You're leading the way in stopping DACA, the Dream Act for people who came here illegally. If it's not phased out by September 5th, what happens?
Well, I led the way with regard to Barack Obama's last executive order that he issued in his last year, and ironically, after he became, or after I was elected governor, I sued and stopped his last order, where he unilaterally rewrote the immigration laws, and that's what we're dealing with right here. And that is, we have a president who did not go through Congress, but instead tried to change immigration laws through executive order. That is wrong. We have tough issues and decisions that must be made about this, but they cannot be made by executive order. It has to be done by the United States Congress, who has the sole authority to write our immigration laws.
Is there a tripwire of September 5th?
I'm not familiar with that tripwire.
Okay.
On September 5th, what we all know, and that is that Congress has the ongoing responsibility to write and or alter our immigration laws. It is their responsibility to take care of that.
1 minute. Travis County just released a Mexican gang member.
Outrageous. This is the sheriff did that. That's exactly why we passed this ban on sanctuary cities. That law goes into effect on September the 1st. If the sheriff were to do something like that on September 1st or after that time, that sheriff herself would be subject to criminal penalties from removal from office, and Travis County would be subject to paying stiff penalties. We are not going to allow our sheriffs to release dangerous criminals back out onto our streets.
Good for you. Good for you. Governor Abbott, I say this with all sincerity. You are, I've lived all over the country. You're the best governor I have ever had the privilege to vote for and live in the state while you were working. You're fantastic. You're leading the way for the whole country, and you're pretty much invisible. And it's great to have a governor who's effective and is not in your face and, you know, controlling your life all the time. Thank you for that.
We will keep Texas great.
Thank you, sir. Governor Greg Abbott from the state of Texas. All right, sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Simply Safe is going to do what the name promises. Keep you safe in a very simple way. You know, when you go to other places, they'll upsell you. They'll say you could have, you know, this security for only $49 a month. Well, then you get them there, and then they're like, oh, well, we didn't know that applies. That really doesn't apply to you. You need more of X, Y, or Z. The stuff they're selling you is so cheap. It's not magic. It's so cheap. And you will see with SimpliSafe, you can buy a full-blown, I mean, their summer sale, I don't even know what it is. Probably, I don't even want to say. It's under $1,000, I'm sure. And you get $100. Can you somebody go to SimpliSafe and look it up? You get $100 off if you use my name when you go there. You own it. You own it. Instead of paying for air for, you know, the next 5 years with your contract, you don't do any of that. You own this system. There's nobody coming over to your house to drill holes in the walls, to run wires, none of that. It is all wireless. It doesn't even connect to the phone. It's cellular in nature. You get it, you open up the box, you plug it in, and it tells you step by step exactly what to do. Within an hour, did it in a half hour, but within an hour, you can have your whole house protected by SimpliSafe.
Looks like it's $399.85.
Okay. I was going to say $500, but I didn't want to be wrong. $399, what is it, the summer sale?
Yeah, $100 off, $399.85.
Unbelievable. Go to simplysafebeck.com. Go there now, simplysafebeck.com. No contracts, no wiring, no scams. The great system that you need at a price you can afford that will keep your family simply safe. Simplysafebeck.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
I cannot wait. I have been waiting to see, Dunkirk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how long has that trailer been running?
18 and a half years.
Yeah, I mean, like I think that, yeah. It started as Dunkirk was happening. It was actual live footage, and then they just said, coming summer of 17. it started to get scary because I've only seen one trailer.
Reviews look great, though.
Yeah, the reviews look great, thank goodness.
92% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's pretty good.
Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it. And, of course, next weekend, I'm just saying, Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Probably the best film of all time. I mean, we can probably say it now.
I say it's the best trailer of all time. And somehow it just will not stop playing on our computers here.
The boss walks by
and we're like...
Atomic Bomb Blood Whoa. Virus, I think, is what it is.
Wait a minute, you're the boss.
This is
like, I know, and you shouldn't be watching it,
program.
I should be.
Mercury.